So last Sunday, our family wasn't here. We were in Brown County, Indiana, down at the state park down there near Nashville. And there was a family reunion on Megan's side of the family, the Smith side. So people came from all over the country and we met there. And we stayed at the lodge, and it was really hot. I think it was hot here as well, but it was really hot down there, really muggy. And back there in the deep woods, there wasn't any wind or anything. So when we went, I was hoping to be able to take my city boys out into the woods a little bit and do a little hiking and other things, whatever you do out there in the woods. And unfortunately, the air conditioning really felt really nice, so we stayed in quite a bit and we didn't go out. The other draw that was a part of that lodge, they have a really nice pool there at the lodge, and there's a big slide and a lazy river and volleyball, and just really kid friendly, really family friendly, and the water was warm, so which is always a plus for me in the pool. So it opened, the pool that was there was open every day from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. So my game plan was, we're just doing this the whole time. We're not going outside. It's too hot to do a campfire and all these things because it was like 85 degrees at 9 o'clock at night. So we were there from Friday through Monday morning. Saturday morning, we got up. Kids got their swimsuits on. We had breakfast, got the swimsuits on, went to the pool for a couple of hours and having a great time. And we're just going to spend the rest of the day there. We came back to the one room to be able to meet with the family, the larger family, to have lunch. So we had lunch, and after lunch, we went back to the pool, and there's these big orange signs on the doors of the pool. Sorry, due to unforeseen circumstances, the pool is closed the rest of the day. It will reopen tomorrow at 10 a.m., which was a bummer, because now what are we going to do with these four boys that are, you know, not wanting to be cooped up in a little hotel room for all day, and it's too hot to go outside. What are we going to do? So we were trying to figure out plan B, and I went over to the front desk because I was curious, like, well, why is this pool closed? So I went and asked, and the manager there, I could tell, I said, so why is the pool closed? And she sort of looked at her people that were behind the desk with her, and then she said, well, and I said, it's okay, I don't need to know, it's all right, don't tell me. She's like, well, actually, there was a child that had some sort of accident in the pool. I'm like, yeah, I really don't need to know, don't tell me. And I said, that's fine. So I was thankful for the warning sign that the manager had put on the door, that the manager had made the decision to go ahead and shut down the pool for the rest of the day so the filtering system could happen. I'm assuming that it was probably a little bit more than just pee in the pool. It was probably, you know, some other something that was in the pool, and none of us would have wanted to swim in that. So I was thankful for the manager's discretion and decision in all of that. Because if I would have put my family in that pool, there would have been some health risks that would have come along with that. So I tell all that as the precursor to my passage for today. You're like, where is he going with this? The Spirit led me to Ephesians chapter 5 for today. Ephesians chapter 5, and again, the computer back there died, so we don't have any PowerPoint this morning, so if you have a Bible, you're going to have to actually look at this in your Bible. It's Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians is such a wonderful book, and the hard part is preaching on a small portion of Ephesians because it all ties in and builds upon one another, and it's just, there's so much there. It's hard to just narrow things down. But the Spirit, for whatever reason, led me to Ephesians chapter 5, and he really had me zero in on verse 3. Which says this, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And my purpose today with this particular verse is threefold. It's to instruct. Maybe there are some folks here this morning that did not know that that verse was in the Bible. My purpose is also to warn those of us who know that that verse is there, but yet say, nah, I got better plans. I'm going to do things my way. And thirdly, to encourage those who know it's there, who are heeding its warning, yet find it terribly difficult to live out this challenge by the Apostle Paul. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. The thing about this particular verse, as I've read it in the past, is that I really struggle with the quantities that are mentioned here. Paul says, there must not even be a hint. I don't really know how much that is, but I know that it's just a little. And then he goes on and emphasizes it even further. He says, or of any kind. That means any. No, zero. We're not supposed to have any kind of impurity. Or any kind of greed. Because anything like that is improper for God's holy people. So I'd like you to ask yourself, when was the last time you allowed a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed into your life? Maybe it was when you entertained something inappropriate on the TV, or something provocative popped up on your computer screen. Maybe it was an image or just a thought that had been triggered in your mind. And instead of dismissing these things, you allowed them to stay and linger for a while. Paul says, even a hint of sexual immorality or impurity of any kind. Some might say that that's not really fair of Paul, because that's impossible to live out. Because Paul probably doesn't realize the culture that we all find ourselves living in. I mean, we live in the entertainment capital of the planet. Our country celebrates, glorifies, and exalts sexual immorality. Anyone can do anything, anytime, anywhere. It's none of anybody else's business. And then we put it into media format for everyone to enjoy. This is America. And after all, doesn't God have bigger problems to deal with and worry about than what I do on the internet, who I live with, and how I spend my free time after a hard day at work? And even if I did try to live a life of purity, it's hard to go anywhere without being tempted sexually or impurity or tempted with greed. Because the vast majority of the films that we see, flashing on billboards, blaring on TV commercials, newspaper ads, nearly every web page that we surf, you hear it on the radio, because the culture is saturated with sex, drugs, and violence. It's hard to get away from it. And even if you block out all that media, there's still temptation when you go to the library, when you go to the grocery store, and for heaven's sake, even when you come here to church. There's temptation. So it's not really fair for God to expect that there not even be a hint of these things in my life. He's just a little strict, don't you think? His expectations are not really fair, are they? Well, one of the purposes of the Bible is to reveal to man God's plan of salvation. God's plan to save us from sin. And so the Bible is really a collection of love letters from Him to us as His children, instructions that are not intended to make our life more difficult, but instructions that are intended to help us find life in its fullest, an abundant life. When we pursue God's will for our lives, we unknowingly avoid many traps of the enemy.
But when we disregard His will for our lives, even as believers, we will find ourselves inching ever so slowly toward pain and hurt and regret, forfeiting the grace that could be ours. So, if you think back to my story about the pool, what if I had gone to that manager and said, you know what, we paid good money to be here this weekend, and I don't really care if there was an accident in there, I want to swim in that pool. So unlock those doors, and me and my family, we're going to swim, and if we see anything floating around, we'll just swim around it. It won't be a big deal. Because it's my right. And that manager is just mean and too strict and shouldn't really worry about how it's going to affect other people. Why doesn't that manager just worry about herself? That manager must be on some sort of power trip and thinks that she can influence me or impact how I'm going to spend my vacation. That would be ridiculous, right? Of course. However, isn't that at the heart of what we say to the Lord? We commit the same sin of unbelief that Adam and Eve committed in the garden. The sin of thinking that we know better than the manager. That we know better than God, and so we'll make the call, and it'll be my decision about what's good for me in my life. And because God loves us, He allows us to make that choice, even though it's silly. Even though it's dangerous and harmful. He reminds us over and over of the danger and the better path, and yet, unfortunately, we ignore Him. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. You know, God, you're just really uptight. That comedian is really funny. And yes, there's that little bit in his routine that's completely inappropriate, but man, is it funny. I was laughing so hard I was crying. It's not hurting anyone. It's not like it's racist material or anything. So what's the big deal? Just lighten up a little bit, Lord. And yes, I agree that TV show that I watch sometimes, it promotes, you know, premarital sex and lust and adultery. But the overall message of the show is so good. It's so witty and so creative. The ratings are through the roof. And I don't want to look like a fool when I go to work tomorrow because all my coworkers are going to be talking about it. And then I want to make sure that I know what they're talking about because really, I'm trying to build a relationship with them so that I can witness to them. It could be a good opportunity. And yes, I know this skirt and this blouse are really cute and because they were on sale at Kohl's. And it would be a real shame not to wear them, even though, the skirt's a little short, the blouse is a little low cut, but come on, it's not my fault if other people are looking at me. It's my right to look nice. And this outfit really accentuates my best features. And Netflix is only $8 a month. I mean, compared to cable, it is a steal. And I usually only watch the good shows. And if I watch some of the things I shouldn't, well, I'm considerate of my wife. I make sure I change the channel when she comes in the room. Besides, even if I had HBO, I wouldn't watch it at least that much. And my coworker, she just understands me so much better than my wife does. I feel like we relate so much better because she has all the same work-related stress. She listens to me and really appreciates the hard work that I put into this project. Yeah, she's a little flirty and dresses a bit provocatively, but I would never in a million years do anything inappropriate with her. I mean, besides, she's like 20 years younger than me. That kind of stuff only happens in the movies. Yes, I do already have 34 of these things, but I really, really, really need this one too. It goes with the set, and it's a really good deal, and I have a coupon. I can't let the coupon go to waste. That would just be wrong. And if I get there at 3 a.m., there's an extra 10% off. So I want to be a good steward of the money God has blessed us with, and I believe it's His will because I really have a peace about this. And I know that movie, yeah, it had a little bit of nudity, but honestly, it really doesn't affect me because I have a good marriage. I just really like the artistic aspects of that the filmmaker utilized during the various scenes. And I promise I'll hide the DVD so that my kids won't get it. And the next time I watch this, I'll just make sure I fast forward that part now that I know that it's there. And you know, it really just makes a lot more financial sense for us to live together. I mean, having two apartments, two of everything, it'd just be so much easier, so much more economical if we just lived together. Yes, we'll probably get married someday, but for now, I think it's just better if we just live together, work out the kinks, right? And then if it doesn't work, we can just go our separate ways. Besides, all my friends are living together, and I even know some people from the church that are doing it, so it must be fine. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet named Jonah. You know, the one who had to get swallowed by a big fish before he'd finally listen to what God had to say. Jonah said this, Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Those that cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. How many times do we cling to worthless idols? To the worthless idols we find in our pursuits of sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. How many times do we cling to these things because we think we know better than the manager? We think we know better than God, and yet we fail to realize that we're forfeiting the grace that could have been ours. Paul says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. As followers of Christ, we're to get our instructions for life from God's Word. And so no matter what my neighbor tells me, or my favorite talk show host, or no matter what the United States government says, as a follower of Christ, I will put my trust in God's eternal Word. And let's be clear, Paul is all about grace. He writes these instructions after he has written about them, about how to attain salvation through faith in Christ. He's not suggesting that you have to do these things to earn God's favor or grace. Paul knows that grace is the free gift of God. It can't be earned. So he's not telling the church to earn God's favor by staying pure. No, he's telling them to do these things because of God's favor, as a way to imitate or be like Jesus. The verses that are just prior to verse 3, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 say this. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. True love has integrity even when we think no one is looking. True love pursues purity even when the grass looks greener on the other side. And true love is generous, even when it hurts to give. When we do these things, we are imitating Jesus. We're walking like Christ. True love sacrifices and gives and waits. The imposter of love, which is lust, is characterized by sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. Lust causes me to only think about Lance. And it causes me to use whatever objects I can to gratify my own desires. Paul says, don't even allow a hint of this stuff to be among you. God's holy people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Don't allow it, even a little bit. Let's say just for the sake of illustration this morning, let's say that I have some chocolate chip cookies that I've baked for you and they're out in the foyer. You can pick some up on your way out today. But by the way, I should warn you, when I was making them, some mouse droppings fell into the batter. So I'm sorry about that. But the cookies, I mean, think about it though. It was just a little bit. And there's so much good stuff in those cookies. The milk, the sugar, the vanilla, the salt, the flour, the eggs. The mouse droppings, I mean, they just look like chocolate chips anyway. So it'll be fine. It's no big deal. Just make sure you pick one up on your way out today. It's just a little bit. Besides, you don't even know what that would taste like anyway. I mean, trust me. How do you know what mouse droppings taste like? It's just a hint. Just a hint of droppings is all. The rest of the cookie is really, really good. At the start of my message today, I said I wanted to instruct, warn, and encourage. So here's the instruction part. Don't believe what the culture says. The Lord of the entire universe says through the Apostle Paul, don't do this stuff. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is more about what we pursue than what we avoid. When we come to faith in the Savior, we're pursuing a relationship with the Creator of the universe, the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. It's not about do's and don'ts. We want to live and move and have our being in Christ, to walk with Jesus, to live a life worthy of the Lord and to please Him in every way, which means we will pursue sexual integrity, no matter what your age or marital status. I'm not really sure how all of this works in the later years of life. But I've been told that even though the body loses functionality, the mind stays young. And if you have a mind that stays young, I'm going to guess that you have the potential to wander into sexual temptation. When we follow Christ, we will pursue purity in all things. Work, play, pleasure, worship, marriage, parenting, entertainment, passion, and conversation. Paul says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When we follow Christ, we will pursue generosity. We'll give beyond our means. We'll excel in this grace of giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich. When we yield to the Spirit, and are empowered by Him to walk in this way, our generosity, our purity, and our integrity will look like Jesus. And those with whom we are trying to share the good news of the Savior will already know that we walk in a rhythm that is different from the culture around us. God's grace is sufficient when we fail. No one is perfect in the pursuit of integrity, purity, and generosity. I fail daily. And on many days, I fail hourly. I don't know what the struggles are that you face when it comes to these three categories. But we're all in the same battle. And just as Paul instructed the believers, those who are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, those who are adopted in Christ, he instructed them as God's holy people to not even allow a hint of sexual immorality, any kind of impurity or of greed to be among you. So I would challenge us with the same. And this is not a verse or a set of verses that we should use to beat one another up, to point out each other's impurities or immoralities or greed. That's not my job. That's not your job. The Holy Spirit will take care of that for us. You be faithful to come before the Lord and ask Him to reveal those things in your life. Ask Him to take care of those things in your life. And He will be faithful. Here's the warning part. Don't believe what the culture says. The Lord of the entire universe says through His apostle Paul, don't do this stuff. And unfortunately, there are those who know the warning, but have chosen to believe something else instead and say, I'll swim in that pool if I want to. Besides, I'm saved. I'll just ask for God's forgiveness later. The consequences of sin have crept into the fabric of this universe, and it won't be completely eradicated until the King returns and restores all things to its proper order. God doesn't interfere with our decision-making process. So when we cling to the worthless idols of greed, impurity, and sexual immorality, God is not waiting in heaven to push a button to discipline us. The discipline and the consequences are already a part of the action. It's similar to the law of gravity. If I drop this book, 100% of you can tell me what's going to happen. It's not like God is waiting in heaven saying, okay, get ready to turn on the gravity. As soon as he releases his fingers, let's turn it on. No, gravity is already in place. The consequences of my decision to drop this book, we know what will happen. We also know the consequences of a life of sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. And God's not waiting in heaven to say, okay, press discipline button number 7 for so-and-so. They just messed up again. God doesn't have to do that. Yet when we fail, sometimes there's a tendency that we want to still blame God. And I pray and I pray and I say, but God, please don't let this Bible fall off. Please don't let this Bible fall off. I'm praying, Lord, and I really appreciate it if you wouldn't let it fall off. Please don't let it. Please don't let, oh, God, now why did you do that? Why didn't you intervene? Why didn't you take away the temptation? No. God uses, or God gives us free will to choose him or to choose otherwise. And that's real love. If he forced us to love him, that wouldn't be love. Because forcing someone to do something is a crime. God gives us the choice. And as a warning, consider some of the wisdom from one of the wisest men who ever lived, King Solomon. He says in Proverbs chapter 7, "With persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life." Solomon was very wise, yet he couldn't follow his own advice. It was his choices and habitual sexual immorality, impurity, and greed that caused him to lose the kingdom, and his reign ended in disgrace rather than honor. And so when we choose those things, we forfeit the grace of God that could have been ours. It slowly but surely infects our marriages, it erodes our relationships, and it disintegrates the abundant life that God has made available for our lives. The thing that we forget, because you never hear the culture talk about it, is how beautiful purity really is. When was the last time someone in the culture challenged you to remain pure? It doesn't happen. When the fire stays in the fireplace, it serves its purpose of beauty and warmth. The sight, the smell, the sound, the feel of a fire in a fireplace on a cold winter night, it can be mesmerizing. However, the moment we move it out of the fireplace and into an area that it was never designed to be, the results are devastating. It's only one spark. What's the big deal? It's just a little bit. And then the whole house is engulfed in flames. Paul is warning us to keep the fire in the fireplace, to live a life as he intended by the power of the Spirit. And here's the encouragement part. Don't believe what the culture says. The Lord of the entire universe says through his apostle Paul, don't do this stuff. So for those of you who know about it and are heeding the warning, yet finding it terribly difficult to fight the good fight and pursue a life of purity, please know that fighting for purity is worth the battle no matter what the cost. When my oldest son Graham was born in 2003, I believe the Spirit put this idea in my mind. I was gonna buy a ring for him. And so I don't wear these rings just so that I can have a lot of bling. I didn't know it was gonna end up like this. So I started off with one, of course, from my wedding to my wife nearly 15 years ago. And then when Graham was born, I bought a ring for him. And this ring was really, the purpose of it was to remember to pray for his purity. And God only knows what impact that is going to have for him. I don't know what's in store. He's still going to make his own decisions in life. But as his dad, I want to do everything I can to help him, and to pray for him, and to model for him purity. Because at that time in my life, 2003, I was really in a stage where I wasn't committed to that purity.
I was really playing a game.
Now, everybody that would have looked at my life would have said, wow, you have a great marriage. And for the most part, I did. But you know what? God knows the unfaithfulness that was there. God knows the greed, the selfishness, the impurity, the times when I chose to swim in the pool of that was polluted, to eat the contaminated cookie because I thought I knew better and like nobody's going to know and it's fine. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's just for me and it's so enjoyable. What's the big deal? It's just a little bit. And I don't want my boys to make those same rationalizations. And so I bought this ring for Graham. I don't know when I'll give it to him. Maybe when he graduates or maybe when he gets married or maybe when I die. I don't know. I haven't figured that out quite yet. But then Isaiah came along and then Hudson and then Micah. And we're not having any more kids because I am out of fingers and these rings are expensive and I just looks goofy. All this, get chains or something I could wear, but you know, the thing that really caused me to put on the brakes and say, hold on, we better evaluate what's going on here was my dad came to me and challenged me. He had been going through some struggles himself and said, you know what, let's get real before God and get this taken care of. Let's stop playing the games. And so I'm like, what games? What are you talking about? He knew. Because he's a guy. We all fight the same battle.
You also have a father who desires purity for your life. He paid the ultimate price to have a relationship with you. And the purity he makes available for you are worth any sacrifice you can make in this life. Your marriage is worth it. Your kids are worth it. And this church is worth it. And the encouragement is to know that you're not in this fight alone. There are other believers who are battling against the values of society, swimming against the current of this culture and standing up for what is right even when you will be persecuted. And so I encourage you to keep seeking the Spirit of God for His guidance and His power. I don't know what kind of work the Spirit wants to do in your heart and soul with this message this morning. It's really not any of my business. And I'm not exactly sure what Jesus is saying to you, but I do know His will, His best intention for you this side of heaven is that you would be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Don't cling to worthless idols. Cling to the one who loved you before the foundation of the world. Despite your greatest weakness, His love and His grace and His mercy are greater still. Be imitators of God. Pursue sexual integrity. Pursue purity. Pursue generosity. Because you are God's holy people. Holy and dearly loved by a Father who joyfully gave up everything to have relationship with you. Let's pray.